joy it is to look out and see all these wonderful expressions of joy and laughter. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will celebrate and rejoice. Let us continue to unite our hearts and our spirits as we worship God together.
Costumes, I almost forgot to light the Christ candle. What a way to start our worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Please continue to stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Laughter, reciting your response. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Again, I say rejoice.
This is the time to rejoice. Please continue standing and join in our hymn of praise found on an insert in your bulletin. Rejoice in the Lord. Well, it's here. Diane Runser, our music director, has been telling us for several weeks now that today is the day to laugh. So that calls for a few jokes to get us started. So, how many choir directors does it take to change a light bulb? Laughter, laughter. How many United Methodists does it take to change a light bulb?
Change. United Methodists don't believe in change.
And what did the cabbage pastor say to the people?
Let us pray.
And on that note, please stand and join in our opening prayer printed in your bulletin. You know better than we do, amused God, what important people we believe we are. Believing we have to be serious all the time, we miss out on the joy of your creation. Choosing to feast on the pain of the world, we skip the picnic offered in paradise. Clinging to the despair which is our best friend, we ignore Jesus, who can bring us home to your heart. Forgive us, heart of joy, and make us open to the startling and upside-down ways in which you work. Fill us with Easter's laughter. Fill us with your healing joy. Fill us with the love poured into us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please remain standing for our second hymn of praise, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Please be seated. Our responsive reading this morning will be Psalm 118, verses 14 through 29. This reading may be found in the insert page in your bulletin. Please recite your response after each prompt. The Lord is my strength and my power. The Lord has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God, who has given us light. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you.
Our setting today for our drama is in the clouds above Jerusalem. And on this side, the angels can see the disciples huddled in fear because they can see through roofs and walls and things like that. I don't know if you knew that about angels, but they can. And anyway, on this side, they can see the women at the tomb. So, resurrection and the book.
harder to hear with the bells.
You're acceptable. Besides, they'll hardly even notice you.
The shepherds in Bethlehem noticed me.
That was 30 years ago, and that was only because you had that hideous avocado green and fuchsia robe on.
Oh yeah, that was a cool robe. Anyway, I've got a speaking part this time, and I've been practicing. Fear not!
It's not time yet. Right now, all the disciples are in hiding. Those pitiful creatures.
Aw, they look so sad.
You don't need to feel sorry for them. It's their own fault.
Hey, Luminous, give them a break. I mean, they haven't been on a picnic, you know. Think about it. The past 3 years with Jesus has been a trip. Remember how we calmed the storm? He taught them lots of new stuff. In a new way to look at life and people. You remember that dude Zacchaeus? All those cool things happened to them, and then, boom! Suddenly, Jesus is betrayed by his own bud Judas, and he gets hauled off to jail.
I am quite aware of all that has happened. I saw the Roman soldiers beat him. They whipped him. They even laughed at him. I was there when they nailed him to that awful cross. I saw the soldiers gamble for his clothes, give him sour wine to drink, and then pierce his side with that cruel sword. But if the disciples had read the book, they would know it just had to happen.
Read the book? What book?
The book. The scriptures. Over 700 years ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote this about Jesus.
He was a man of much sadness. He was beat up, whipped, and stabbed, but he didn't cry or say anything. He did this for us. He took the punishment for all the wrong things we do.
Jesus did that for his disciples?
Not only for his disciples, but for all of us that believe him.
No wonder they feel bad.
But turn the page. That's not the end of the story. It's absolutely no reason for them to be moping around down there.
Come on, Lumi, have a heart. They saw Jesus buried in that rich guy's tomb. They saw the big old rock rolled in front of the opening.
Yes, I know that, but don't call me Lumi.
Sorry!
But if they had read the book, they would have known it just had to happen.
Isaiah again, huh?
He was cut off from life for the sins of the people. He was to be buried with the wicked, but instead he was buried with the wealthy.
I'll admit, this is pretty convincing, but you know how humans are. They have a hard time believing what they can't see. Death is like, well, the end. Right now, they're terrified that the Jewish leaders will come after them. They don't know that something really super is about to happen.
Oh, my dear little angel, they should know it.
They should? Oh, I see. The book again. And hey, don't call me little angel.
Yes, the book again. However, Jesus himself told them in no uncertain terms that he would be crucified and then rise again from the dead on the third day. And they still couldn't comprehend it. Humans.
Wait a minute. What about those Roman guards at Jesus' tomb? When the ground started rocking and the stone started rolling, it sure made believers out of them.
Sparky, this is it. Mary Magdalene and the other women. They're headed for the tomb. You got to get down there and meet them.
Now? I don't know if I can do it. I got this weird feeling like stardust in my stomach. What if I mess it up?
Just say it in your own words.
Hi. Please don't be scared. Everything is cool. Guess who's not here? That's right. Jesus. He's risen from the dead. Didn't you read the book? Remember, he told you that he would die, then rise again on the third day. Go tell Peter and all his buddies that Jesus will meet them in Galilee. Oh, tell them Sparky sent you.
Hey, that last part about Sparky's not in the book.
Poetic license.
Now the women will go and tell the disciples what happened. Of course, they won't believe a word of it. Until Jesus appears to them personally. One minute they'll be wallowing in sorrow, and the next they'll be ecstatic with joy. If they had read the book and listened to Jesus, they could have skipped all that emotional turmoil. Thank heavens our task is completed. I have to get back to the robe room. You know how much pride I take in supplying the angelic host with their robes.
Hey, wait, Gabriel told me to give this to you. I almost forgot. What is it, Luminous?
I've been transferred to another position.
Which one?
Guardian angels.
Guardian angels? You're going to be working with a human? Hey, well, let me see what human you've been assigned to. Saul of Tarsus. Harps and halos, Luminous. You got the Apostle Paul.
There's no telling what encounters with humans I'll have to endure.
Yes, there is.
There is?
Sure, Luminous. Read the book. Cheer up, Luminous. Saul's not really that bad after he gets zapped. Come on, I'll help you get packed. Hey, you want to borrow my avocado and fuchsia robe? That thing is awesome. It makes your eyes.
What a delightful presentation. Same meaning, just different version. Thank you to Sparky and Luminous and our cathedral bells. We have reached the point in our worship service, our moments of informality, if we can get any more informal than we've already gotten, where I will take a few minutes to tell you about the mission and ministry of our church. But first, I do offer a warm welcome to all this morning, and especially our visitors. And visitors, please don't be frightened away. We want you to come back next week. This has just been a fun little insert in an otherwise
long Lenten season, and now we're celebrating the joy of the resurrection. While I share the announcements, I would ask that you complete the form in the red attendance folder that you'll find at the end of your pew. Complete that, pass it to others in your pew, and when it's all done, pass it to the end so that the ushers can get it after service. If you do have a prayer request, you'll find a 3x5 index card in that red folder. Please complete that as well, and there are clear holders at the end of each pew that the ushers will bring forward a note if you have for Reverend Lake. And now please allow me to make a few announcements. Vacation Bible School has been scheduled for the week of July 16th. It will be held during evening hours, and that's primarily in the hopes of being able to get some additional adult helpers. So if you are interested in this wonderful ministry, there will be a meeting next Sunday, April 22nd, after our second service. Jack Tickle, the youth pastor, will be conducting that meeting. Plans are also underway for the Mother's Day banquet and celebration that will be held on May 12th at 6 p.m. in the Social Hall. Great food and lots of fun entertainment is being planned for all ladies of the church. And as a reminder, tickets are sold in advance, so there are no sales at the door. So you want to plan on purchasing that ticket beginning next week, next Sunday, the 22nd, tickets will be on sale. If you have any desire to help or have any questions, please see Bev or Debbie. Debbie also has plans getting underway for Graduate Recognition Sunday. On this day, we honor our high school and college graduates. So please contact Debbie if you or a family member will have graduated school or college within the last year. And today is the annual district conference. It will be held at Faith United Methodist Church. Our donations from the children's offering this morning will be given to the Greensburg District to help them cover the cost of programs that they sponsor throughout the year. And just as a final reminder, please check your bulletin for any additional announcements, scheduled meetings, and other activities that have been planned in the life of our church for this week. And now I say, may the peace of Christ be with you. Please. And now, once again, after celebrating Shirley's Day, see her as you pass the peace of Christ to others.
I haven't had that much hair for 20 years. Good morning, everyone. How are you? What's that? Rock and rolling. Whew. Wow, that's a workout. So you all look pretty good today. Holy Humor Sunday. What's that mean? We said we could wear hats today. Silly hats. Because God played the biggest joke on who? On the devil when Jesus was resurrected. Yes. Yep. And you know, usually in church, who do we talk about? Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. And are we to follow them or not? Follow them. That reminds me of a game. What game? What is it? Oh, come on, let's play a game.
Okay.
What would it be?
Hide and seek.
Nah. We don't want to hide from God. Duck, duck, goose. Nah, I don't think God wants us ducking and goosing. But I'll bet, follow the leader. Okay. Are you ready? Oh, we're going to go again. Well, wait a minute. I got to quit getting dizzy here. Come on. Anybody else going to do a somersault? Come on. Oh, if you have a dress on, I don't know. There you go. Woohoo! Keep coming. We got to make room. Anybody else want to? Oh, there was a sideways one. All right, let's all come on back. All right, I did this at early service. Uh-oh. Oh, no. You better get behind the railing. Diane said, do it again. I missed it. What do you give me if I land on my feet? You'll give me your wig. Okay. Here we go. Did you get it? Oh. Oh. Anybody have an Advil? You know, we do know that Jesus wants us to follow him. And that's important to do every single day. And Jesus wants us to have fun. So we need to have fun when we follow Jesus. And that doesn't mean just us as children when we're playing games, but that means everybody out there, Jesus wants us to follow him and to have fun doing it. Let's pray. Gracious God, for this day we give you thanks. For these boys and girls, all of us as your children, may we always follow the leader. Bless them, bless us, as we seek to always follow you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Can you hand me the bulletins? And will someone pass out the cups?
I'm going to ask the chancel choir to come up. The song that we're going to be singing is actually the theme song, or it was dedicated to the Red Noses, which is a clown ministry, especially working in the field of in hospitals, because we all know that laughter is the best medicine.
Thank you.
Did you notice that Connie's wearing her choir robe? We come to that time in our service when we want to lift up the joys and concerns for individuals and situations among us. Romaine, did I get her name right? Is in Westmoreland Hospital, and that is the mother of Mike and Judy Hensler. And Wednesday was my birthday, so it's a belated birthday. So, you know, thank you. They come and go. You know, Andrew said to me, he says, "Well, old man," he said, "my sister had lamented the fact that our dad was getting older," and I said, "I'd rather have him get older than quit today, because then he's dead." So Andrew says, "Well, I'll wish you a happy birthday, because I don't want you to die today." I thought, well, that's a great cheerful message. So we've giggled over that one. If you look on the back of our worship folder, you'll see that there's a multitude listing of those individuals in the life of the church that we want to continue to lift up and to pray for. So let us continue then, uniting our hearts and our spirits as we go to God in prayer. Lord God, we come this day into your house, every day seeking your presence. For you are the one that offers to us great joy, good news, grace and forgiveness and love that is just beyond our understanding and comprehension. Every Sunday that we gather together is to be a mini celebration of the events of Easter morning. And so it is with great joy that we are welcomed into your house this day. We pray, O God, that we might carry this joy through each and every day, that we might allow the joy, the presence of Christ, to radiate forth from within each cell in our bodies, that others might see and experience your presence and experience your joy, grace, and forgiveness every day. Oh God, we know that there are those around us and outside the walls of your house that are not joyful today. There is sickness. There is devastation. There is war and hatred. But we know that great things happen through you. And we know, O God, that you call us to be a part of your world, to be a part of that that you seek to change and to transform and to make new. We know that your healing power and presence is a balm that can coat the very beings of those in need. Oh God, this day we pray for the healings of individuals, the healings of relationships, the healings of nations. For we pray for that moment and time when all heads and hearts would bow at your holy and precious name. Oh God, continue to bless us and anoint us that we might be a blessing to those that we meet not only today, but in this week that is before us. Might we faithfully live as your disciples, living and sharing this good news that Christ offers to us this day. Oh God, it is with your hope and confidence that we ask, that we pray, as we unite our hearts together in the prayer that Christ Jesus has offered to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
At this time, I would ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Loving God, you bring the gift of resurrection and a redeemed life through the locked doors of our hearts. You show us your wounded hands as a reminder that if we are to be faithful disciples, our hands must be yours, those that can heal a wounded world. Bless these gifts, Lord, that we give to you today, and may others be touched because we gave from our hearts. In the name of the risen Christ, Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
was a mouthful. Please have a seat. Let's unite our hearts and spirits in prayer. Lord God, for this day we give you thanks. You are the one who had the last laugh on all the evil of the world. For they thought that when Jesus said, "It is finished," that it was. But for you, O God, it was just a new beginning. And we are grateful this day that we can come together as Easter people. And now, O God, we know that there are still those things in our lives that tend to trap us, that tend to pull us. And so we pray now that you will give us a rest and a release in these moments that we share together from those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. I could not come up with one passage of Scripture this morning, so you're going to hear a couple different ones as we work through this time. You probably have heard a familiar version of this quote. This particular one is, well, the author is unknown. God grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know it's me. Now, we all know that confession is good and should always bring about some sort of change. And we know this to be true in our own lives. I've thoroughly enjoyed the book that we've been using on Sunday evenings. We'll actually conclude it this evening, The Treasures of the Transformed Life, for there have been wonderful little tidbits of stories. I enjoyed this one. An old farmer and his wife lived in the hills. And the farmer said, "Ma, we got to go to town before we die." And so they went to town. Now the town had a nice new hotel. And the farmer said, "Ma, let's go into that hotel." And since neither of them had been inside one before, well, they were just in awe of its beauty and glamour and spacing. And as they stepped into the lobby, as luck would have it, they were standing next to the elevator. And the door opened, and the woman, being a little bit quicker and nimbler on her feet, she stepped inside to see where that door would take her. Well, it suddenly closed, and she just disappeared. And about 45 seconds go by, and much to the old man farmer's surprise, the door opened again, and off stepped an incredibly beautiful young lady, and he went up and hugged her and said, "Ma, I don't know where you've been or what they did, but we should have come into town a long time ago." Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is quoted to have said, "Everybody can be great because anybody can serve." Now we know that God calls and equips each and every one of us for the work within the kingdom. Now we may look around at others working within the church or even those outside in the community and say, "Oh man, I wish I had the ability to do that." But we need to remember that God calls us and equips us for the work and the ministry that God wants us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a wonderful chapter on spiritual gifts and our calling and the use of them. Verse 12 and 13 says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Now, there's a story about the young man that was out in the evening with his girlfriend, and the moon was glistening in the sky, and he was in a little bit of a romantic mood, and he looked into her eyes and said, "Susan, if I had 1,000 arms, they'd all be around you. If I had 1,000 eyes, they'd all be gazing into yours. If I had 1,000 lips, they would all be kissing you." And she said, "Bill, quit complaining about what you don't have and use what you do have." Now, those under the age of 21 can forget I just said that. But does God not say the same to us? Anybody here ever read the Bible? The book. How about part of it? Some folks have a habit of occasionally picking up this book and say, "Well, you know, God, I need some direction today in my life." Judas went out and hung himself. "Surely, God, that's not what you have for me. Let's try it again. Go and do likewise." "Third time's a charm, God. Now, certainly you want me to do something of more value. That which you do, do quickly." Looking at the scriptures in bits and pieces can be incredibly dangerous. We need to look at those scriptures in their wholeness and within the proper context of which they were written. Yesterday was the first day of trout season in Pennsylvania. Anybody go? Anybody have any luck? I got my fishing tie on, so I do. Abigail and I and my dad went fishing. Abigail caught and released 4. I had a good day. I had a wonderful day. As my dad would say, we made a memory. Now, we all know that Jesus also talked about fish and fishing. And we can find lots of references in the scriptures. We know that Jesus talked to his disciples about going forth and fishing for people. We remember that story on the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. We remember those stories when Jesus would say, "Well, just row your boat out a little farther and cast on the other side of the boat." And some of those boats almost sunk. They were so full, and some of those nets began to tear. Now, no matter how you feel about fishing, or whether or not that's just something that, well, I can't imagine putting slimy worms or bait or taking a slimy fish off a hook, I doubt that any of us can disagree with the fact that that is one of the primary tasks in the life of the church today, is indeed to go fishing for other people. And you've probably all heard the old saying, "Give a person a fish and you feed them for one meal." Teach a person to fish and they can feed themselves for a lifetime. Well, one woman said, I discovered that if I give my husband a fish, he's got a meal. But if I teach him how to fish, I get rid of him every weekend. Now you know why she encourages you to go fishing. There was a town that had a revival. And after the weekend revival was over, that next morning, the local clergy were gathering together and talking about their successes and how everything came together. And the one minister said, "Well, we really count this revival as successful. We gained 4 new members." And the second minister said, "Well, you know, we were really happy. We did a little better than that. We gained 6 new members." And the third minister said, "Well, we did even better than both of you combined because we got rid of our 10 most troublesome members." One of the last couple weeks that we were in Kane, Andrew was doing a project with one of his school buddies, Gina. And afterwards, they went and got ice cream at one of the local stores, and they called Gina's older brother and said, "Kenny, hey, Andrew and I are over here. Why don't you come visit us?" And he says, "No, I'm at my girlfriend's house. We're watching some Black Bear. Why don't you come and see us?" So Andrew and Gina walked about a block away to see these Black Bear. And, of course, as they were walking, they thought, "Well, we've left our car there, and we are walking eating ice cream. Cream. Don't bears like ice cream?" And they get to the house and say, "Well, where are the bear?" And Kenny said, "Well, they're around back." So they go around back, and there's a big old pine tree and a mama bear and 4 cubs up in the tree sleeping. And mama bear wakes up and stretches and stands up on the one branch and shimmies out a little bit, looks around and shimmies back, and then the babies start to wake up, the cubs do, and they figure, you know, this might be a good time to start to leave. And as they were walking back thinking, "Well, Mama Bear's awake, we've got these ice cream cones," and I said, "Oh, Andrew, you don't have to worry about outrunning the bear, you just need to outrun Gina." Now, there's a story about a bear hunter who skipped church one weekend. Bear hunting in Pennsylvania is the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And as he was sneaking into the woods to get to that spot where he had selected so well, he ran into a large, menacing bear that popped out of nowhere, knocked the gun out of the man's hand. The man, scared to live, and daylight's out of him, he takes off running, and the bear is chasing, closing in on him, and the guy does that fatal mistake of turning around to see how close the bear is, and he tripped on a root, rolled down over the hill, smacked down to the bottom, and there's the bear ready to lunge upon him, and he says, "Oh dear God, please make this bear a Christian bear." To which the bear stopped. "Dear Lord, I thank you for this meal that I am about to receive." A few weeks ago, one of the ministers in the clergy group, not knowing that we were doing this celebration day, sent all of us the Hillbilly 10 Commandments. Number 1, ain't but one God. Number 2, honor your ma and pa. Number 3, no telling tales nor gossiping. Number 4, get your hide to church Sunday meeting. Number 5, ain't nothing come before the Lord. Number 6, no fooling around with another feller's gal. Number 7, no killing except for critters. Number 8, quit your foul mouthing. Number 9, no swiping your kinfolk's stuff. And number 10, don't be hankering for it either. The confirmation class teacher asked the students to list the Ten Commandments in any order. And so Susie wrote, 3, 6, 1, 8, 4, 5, 9, 2, 10, 7. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd have given her an 8 just because. That's pretty good. Now, there was once a generous rabbi who went to work in a colony of people called Trids. Now, as he was living among them, a large, menacing, mean giant appeared on the scene and began to abuse the Trids. He picked them up, he threw them down, and he began kicking them mercilessly. The rabbi said, "Hey, stop picking on those poor Trids." The rabbi interjected, "And stop kicking them as well. If you must kick someone, kick me instead." And the giant replied, "Silly rabbi, kicks are for Trids." Oh, that's a groaner. I got it that time. I messed that last line up at early service. There's a story about a minister that happened to be doing the dishes one evening. And as he was washing those dishes, he looked out into the backyard, and there in the little tree that was planted, there was a little kitten. And as he continued, he realized that the kitten was not coming down out of that tree, and so he realized that he better go out and rescue that kitten. And as he was walking out, the kitten saw him coming and got scared and went up a little farther, and still a little farther, until it was clear up at the top of this tree, about 10 feet tall, where the minister could not reach him, and it was a small enough tree that he could not climb it to help get the cat down. So he decided that he would pull the tree toward him and put a rope around it and tied it to his car, backed his car up to where the top of the tree got to about 6 feet, where he knew he could get out and get the cat. So he parked, put the car in park, got out of the car, walking to the car, just getting ready to pick the cat out of the tree, and the rope broke. Now, the next day, he was in the grocery store visiting or picking up some things and ran into one of his parishioners and said, "Oh, Susan, how's everything going?" And they were having a chit-chat, and he looked into the buggy and said, "Well, I didn't know you had a cat." And she said, "Well, it's the funniest story, Reverend. Our daughter Susie has been after us to get a cat, to get a cat, to get a cat." And we said, "No, no, 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 no." And finally, in exhaustion, they said, "If God wants you to have a cat, God will give you a cat." And she said, "Funniest thing, she was out playing in the yard yesterday, and this cat just fell out of nowhere right into her lap." In our lives, humor causes us great joy. When I looked up the word joy in the concordance, well, it also said, see, enjoy, joyed, joyful, joying. Now, the concordance I have, somebody has way more time on their hands than I do, because it takes every single word in the King James Version and references it by chapter and verse. It's a great tool to have. But I have to ask you, do I really need to know the chapter and verse of every time the word "ah" is used? Because it does that. Or "it" or "and" "the." Whew. But there is quite a listing for joy and joyed and joyful and joying. And we are here today celebrating the joy of this moment because of scripture passages like we find in Luke. "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of a great joy for all the people. For to you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And then when we flip to the back last couple chapters of Luke, we read those passages about the road as they were walking to Emmaus. And those two individuals said, after they realized that that third person was Christ in their midst, were our hearts not burning? And then on that great day of ascension, Luke 24:52. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. So it is our hope and our prayer that the joy of this season of Easter, the celebration, that it might continue to bring to us and to those that surround us every single day, those in the world, the greatest joy that the world has ever known through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, for this day we give you thanks. Oh, we know that we can get so caught up in the stuff of this world that it tends to pull us down. But we have the best news to share with the world 365 days a year. And if that's not something to celebrate, if that's not joyful and good news, well, then what else is there? And so we pray that your joy might rest upon us every single day, that we might experience, that we might share. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn together. The insert, "Take Time to Be Funny." To take these balloons home. But we would ask that, kids, you let an adult help you, because if they go up, we do not know when they will come down. Let's share together in the closing prayer that's found on the back of our worship folder. Lord, as I stumble through this life, help me to create more laughter than tears, dispense more happiness than gloom, spread more cheer than despair. Never let me become so indifferent that I will fail to see the wonder in the eyes of a child or the twinkle in the eyes of the aged. Never let me forget that my total effort is to cheer people, make them happy, and forget, at least for the moment, all the unpleasant things in their lives. And Lord, in my final moment, May I hear you whisper, when you made my people smile, you made me smile. Amen. Go forth now into the world, that the joy of Christ this day might be planted in your hearts, your minds, and your spirits, that it might receive life, that you might offer that joy to the world. Go forth in the world as God's children, in the name of the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. Amen.